Hello and welcome to the Heat Check Sim Show with your host, The Real Sim Shady. It's been about a week and a half since our last episode, so I apologize for the break. Life got kind of crazy with work and stuff, so I apologize. Haven't been able to release much content in the last week and a half, but the last episode we released was that March Madness bracket reveal, and it sounds like people really enjoyed it. I got a lot of positive feedback on that episode. I got a lot of listens as well, so I'm glad people were able to enjoy that, kind of get a different reveal than we've had in the past, add a little more flavor, bring it to life a little bit this last season, and I hope we can continue to do that going forward. It was really, really fun for me and Eli to put that out there, so hopefully we can continue to do that in some capacity at least. So for the episode today, I'm planning on, this is actually going to be the first episode I'm going to do since the pilot episode I put out, that it's just going to be me. I don't have a guest this episode. I did have a guest lined up and planned, but, life happened. They were unable to make it work this time around, and I really wanted to get an episode out for you guys. I know we're in kind of a slow period, a little bit of a lull after March Madness and NIT wrapped up. So I want to get something out there. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to just kind of give a rundown of everything that's kind of happened since the regular season ended. So I'm going to go into some conference tournament results. So a conference tournament recap, just to give you guys a reminder of what happened there, some exciting things we saw happen there. I'm going to do an NIT recap, and I'm going to do a March Madness recap as well. Again, this isn't going to be super in-depth. It's just me this time. I wasn't able to, pull as much detail as I'd typically like to, but I hope you guys enjoy just kind of reminiscing a little bit if you had a good season or catching up with kind of what happened if you weren't paying too close of attention, if you didn't make the tournament or whatever the case was. But I'll give you this breakdown of kind of the recap since the regular season ended. And then, we'll kind of move forward. The next thing I'm hoping to do is the season four preview. Haven't officially lined up a time to record with Fake Joe Lunardi, but I'm hoping that we can do that again this next season. I know that one was actually the biggest hit in terms of episodes that we've released. We got a lot of a lot of listens on that episode, so a lot of positive feedback too. So that's kind of the next thing on the docket after this one. So that'll be, I think we're planning on doing sometime after the schedules are released, so that he can run his simulations on his end, and we can kind of give some detail on that as well, with the real schedules being utilized. So looking forward to releasing that, to recording that too. And it's always fun to kind of get everyone excited for the season. But I'll do a quick, I don't know how long this will take, maybe 30 minutes or so, just a recap of the season three, postseason recap. So let's get started with the conference tournaments. And I got to tell you, season three is the second season that I've been involved with the Heat Check Sim. And I don't know that I paid as close attention to what happened in the conference tournaments in season two, but I don't remember it being as crazy as it was in season three. Season three, there were some wild results. So let's get into it. I'm going to start with the Power Six conference results, just to give a quick rundown of what happened in those conferences. Those are the conferences, obviously, that saw the most teams make the tournament. And it's always interesting to see which teams can win those tournaments, because they're always such a highly competitive fields for each of those conferences. So starting with the ACC, two-seeded North Carolina was able to win the championship of the ACC tournament. They won a title, knocking off seven-seeded Georgia Tech, three-seeded Louisville, and five-seeded Virginia. Virginia had knocked off Duke in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. So, I mean, that's a really loaded field, to have a team like Virginia as the five seed, Georgia Tech as the seven seed in that field. That's a really loaded field. North Carolina was able to pull that tournament off. They won that tournament. So great accomplishment for them. They weren't able to win the regular season conference championship, obviously, as they fell short to Duke. They actually lost to Duke twice this season. But they were able to win the tournament. They're getting hot at the right time, so I'm sure you all know. But we'll hear more from North Carolina later. Moving on to the Big Ten, three-seeded Indiana. So this was actually this feels like we talked about it in the preseason with Fake Joe and Ari. This is just a highly competitive conference. There's tons of teams at the top that are really solid. There wasn't maybe a championship contender we didn't think at the time, you know, a top four or five team in the country coming into the season, but just a lot of really high quality teams. They all kind of beat up on each other during the season, but then during the conference tournament, three-seeded Indiana, they mowed through the tournament. They knocked off six-seeded Iowa by 23. They knocked off two-seeded Illinois by 17, and then they knocked off five-seeded Minnesota by 30. So they won their three games by, an average of almost 23 points a game, or almost 24 points a game. So obviously they're getting hot at the right time. They clinched their tournament berth. They were going to make the tournament anyway, finishing third in the Big Ten. But really impressive to just mow through such a competitive field like they did in the Big Ten tournament. In the Big 12, two-seeded Kansas won the tournament title. They knocked off seven-seeded Baylor, three-seeded Texas, and first-seeded Texas Tech in that order by 18, 22, and 16, respectively. So, again, another instance of a team that's not even seeded first just mowing through their conference tournament in a power conference. So it's really, really interesting to see that result. Texas Tech had a really good team this year, but Kansas was too much for them in the championship, like I said, winning by 16. Moving on to the Big East, Villanova dominated this tournament. They knocked off 8-seeded Marquette, 4-seeded Creighton, and 6-seeded St. John's by 33, 16, and 25. This one's a little less impressive than the last two. Villanova is by far the best team in the Big East, so this is not a surprising result, but you know, they were really confident about their ability to, with that win, that tournament win, to lock up their one seed in the NCAA tournament. And they were hoping for an overall one seed going into that tournament as well. In the Pac-12, two-seeded Utah won the tournament title. They beat seven-seeded Washington, three-seeded Arizona State in overtime in the semifinals. And then in a showdown with first-seeded Arizona, they were able to win 82-80. Absolute showdown with Arizona. They were able to pull that one out. That's a showdown that, you know, both teams were top 10 in the preseason. They battled all year. Arizona won the regular season conference championship, and then Utah was able to knock them off in the championship of the tournament to kind of even the score there. So we'll see, you know, how those teams can do in March Madness once we, you know, get to that recap. But so that's the Pac-12. And then from the SEC, first-seeded Florida won the tournament. They beat 8-seeded Texas A&M, 5-seeded Vanderbilt, and 3-seeded Ole Miss on their way to the championship victory. And they were also very confident in their ability to lock up a one seed with their tournament victory there. So that's kind of your Power 6 recap of the conference tournaments. And now I'm going to get into some mid-major ones. These ones I'm going through in alphabetical order, so not in order of, you know, teams that got the most teams in the – or conferences that got the most teams in the NCAA tournament, but just, you know, alphabetical order the way I, you know, scanned through and found results in the Season 3 file. So we'll start with the Atlantic Sun, and I'm sure plenty of you are well aware. I heard from plenty of people who – seemed to get some sick enjoyment out of my Liberty Flames losing in the championship game of this conference tournament to 8-seeded Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State with maybe the most improbable run that we've seen, at least that I can think of in the Heat Check Sim to date. So through three seasons, they were, again, the 8-seed in the conference. So they barely snuck into the conference tournament. Remember, there's only nine teams in the Atlantic Sun, but they won the tournament by beating first seed of Florida Gulf Coast, who, was undefeated, obviously, against Kennesaw State, was by far the best team in the Atlantic Sun, and they lost in the first round. So they had their tournament hopes kind of dashed in that game. They didn't have the at-large resume, I guess, to make it as an at-large. So they had their tournament hopes dashed, but they won the regular season conference championship, so they locked up that NIT bid. But they then Kennesaw State then knocked off four-seeded Stetson, and then my two-seeded Liberty Flames. Combined, the three teams they beat were 6-0 against Kennesaw State during the regular season. And if I remember right, I don't think any of those teams won by less than 10 points. I think every win against Kennesaw State was by double figures in the regular season. So for them to win those games in the fashion they did was highly improbable. I think they had a 0.3% chance to win the conference tournament. So, like I said, highly improbable run, a super exciting Cinderella. Especially if you don't have a dog in the fight, unlike my team. I did not expect to see Kennesaw State make the NCAA tournament, but good for them. Exciting run for them. We'll see what they can do next year, but yeah, I mean, really exciting for them. It's not exactly the representative that maybe the Atlantic Sun wanted in terms of getting a great NCAA tournament showing, but nonetheless, exciting for Kennesaw State and their coach to see that run. Moving on to the Colonial, I know that was kind of a long, winded rundown of the Atlantic Sun, but it was one of the most interesting results, and a lot of people were shocked by it, so figured I better cover it. So moving on to the Colonial, number one seeded Drexel, so they had that loaded recruiting class, top five in the country recruiting class, I believe, if I remember right. They were the first seed. They ended up losing in the first round to eight seeded Elon, and five seeded William and Mary ended up winning that tournament. But the interesting result there is obviously that the first seeded Drexel lost that first game to Elon. So I mean, a little bit of their youth and experience kind of caught up to them in the conference tournament. You have to take your play up another level, and I think they kind of looked past Elon in that first game. It seems like they fell short. Moving on to Conference USA, interesting result here is that seven-seeded Charlotte, as everyone knows, Eli's team. So Eli, the founder and the architect of HeatCheckSim, his team made a run to the championship game, where they lost by 5-2 one-seeded Old Dominion. Moving on to Ivy League, eight-seeded Yale advanced to the final. They beat first-seeded Princeton. They beat fifth-seeded Penn, but they lost to three-seeded Brown in the final. I mean, it's a surprising result just based on the seeds, but as many of you know, it's a pretty even field throughout the season, throughout the tournament. These teams are relatively evenly matched. There wasn't one team that stood out, but it is interesting. It's Yale. It's the team that is notorious for their recruiting tactic, where they just offer every player in sight. That's what they did in season two. I didn't track it as closely to see what they did in season three, but the recruiting class they brought in evidently allowed them to make a run in the conference tournament, even as the eighth seed, to get to the final. Fall short of winning that tournament, so they will not be in the NCAA tournament. Brown will be the Ivy League representative. The MAC. The interesting results here is that three-seeded Western Michigan beat first-seeded Toledo in the finals of the tournament. So they advanced to the NCAA tournament in a year that they were actually supposed to be down a little bit after last season's NIT championship game run. So last year, in season two, they had like the 37th strongest roster in the country. They fell short. I think they lost in the first round of the conference tournament. And so they missed out on their hopes of getting to the NCAA tournament, but then they made the most of their chance in the NIT. They made it to the championship game, where they lost to Ohio State. I believe that game was in overtime. But this year, as a three seed in the MAC tournament, they made their run. They beat first seeded Toledo in the championship, and they're going to get their chance to dance this year. Moving on to the Missouri Valley, eight seeded Loyola Chicago beat first seeded Valparaiso, and they advance and lost to Northern Iowa in the final. So six seed in Northern Iowa. So the Valley had kind of a crazy tournament. You have the six seed matched up with the eight seed in the championship game. And as many of you know, we mentioned it in the bracket reveal episode, Missouri Valley had three teams make the field. Obviously, Northern Iowa gets the automatic bid. Valparaiso got in as an at-large, and Illinois State also got in as an at-large. So big year for the Valley. It ended up working out well that one of those top two teams in the Valley didn't win the conference tournament because they were able to get a third team to sneak into the field. So exciting year for them. And we'll hear about their tournament results in a little bit. In the Mountain West, first-seeded UNLV lost in the first round to eight-seed Wyoming, and then four-seed Utah State won the tournament. So it's another example of a one-seed losing in the first round. It's happening left and right, it seems like, this year. Moving on to the Patriot, another example. First-seeded Lafayette lost in the first round to eight-seed Lehigh. I mean, this is Lehigh, you know, a good while since they've seen C.J. McCollum, but they were able to pull off the upset in the conference tournament. Four-seeded Army ended up winning that tournament, beating two-seeded Holy Cross in the final. I know Holy Cross, Lafayette, those are two teams that really had NCAA tournament aspirations. But, you know, in a conference like the Patriot, at least at this point, you really got to win your conference tournament most likely. And neither of them were able to get it done this year, unfortunately. Army was the one that finished the deal, so they'll be the representative from the Patriot in March Madness. From the SoCon, first seed Chattanooga lost in the first round to eight seed East Tennessee State, and two seed VMI wins the tournament. And just another example, like I said, of one seed losing the first round of their conference tournament, just left and right. Moving on to the Summit League, this was supposed to be a wide open tournament. This is a tournament that going into the season in the preview, I mentioned that this would be one of those conference tournaments that I would be most interested to see the results just because the conference as a whole was so even, kind of like the Ivy where you saw an eight seed make the championship game. I just really thought we might see some crazy results like that in the Summit, where seeding may not matter as much because all these teams are pretty even. But this tournament ended up going completely chalk. I mean, there wasn't a single upset as far as seeding is concerned in the entire tournament. First seed North Dakota State knocked off two seed Denver in the final of the tournament. So supposed to be an exciting tournament, turned out to be a chalk tournament. And, you know, I mean, that's just the way it goes. It's college basketball. But expect the unexpected, I guess, in that sense. And then finally, I'm going to close with the WAC. First seed New Mexico State lost to 8 seed Utah Valley in the first round. 2 seed Grand Canyon won the WAC tournament. So I know I didn't cover every tournament, and not to say there weren't interesting results across the board, but these were kind of the more notable ones I found just, you know, kind of scanning through the results, big upsets, surprising winners in the championship, things like that. So wanted to give the teams that pulled off those upsets a little bit of shine. Those teams that, you know, were able to win their tournament, things like that. So that's your conference tournament recap. So let's move on at this point to the NIT recap. So this was actually a really wild NIT, and it's kind of been the theme. I think last year's season two's NIT was also pretty crazy, but not anything compared to this year's. In the first round, we saw six seed Ohio State lose to 11 seed Alabama by 21. And the reason this is notable, other than it being an upset, is just that Ohio State actually won the NIT tournament or the National Invitational Tournament last year. And so they find themselves in the NIT again. This year they aren't able to make any noise, not able to defend their championship, and they lose to Alabama by 21 points. Other first-round notable results, 16-seed Princeton knocks off one seed Wisconsin. So Wisconsin was one of the first two teams that was left out of the NCAA tournament, and they did themselves no favors in terms of, you know, showing that they deserve to be in the tournament. They lose their first game to Princeton by 7, 68-61. So not a good result from the Big Ten or from Wisconsin in that game. 13 seed Stony Brook knocks off 4 seed San Diego State by 6. 15 seed Texas Southern upset 2 seeded Wright State by six as well. The ride stay was from the Horizon. They were kind of the Horizon's hope of potentially getting two bids. The Horizon League, I think, was hoping that, Wright State could maybe win that conference championship and then have Green Bay get an at-large bid. But Wright State finds themselves in the NIT, and they lose in the first round to Texas Southern. In the second round, eight-seeded South Carolina knocks off first-seeded Georgia Tech by nine. So the other one seed goes down. Both one seeds are already knocked off 2 rounds in. 11-seeded Alabama again upsets 3-seeded Arkansas by 13, and then 7-seeded Drexel upsets 2-seeded Seton Hall 74-70. So Drexel, like I said, they were the one seed in their conference tournament. They lost in the first round with that loaded recruiting class, but now they've come into the NIT. They've won two games, and they find themselves in the quarterfinals of the NIT. In the quarterfinals, the notable results. Just starting off, four of the eight teams remaining at this point were from the SEC. But so the results from the quarterfinals, eight seed South Carolina knocks off four seeded Miami Ohio by five. Miami Ohio last year in season two made it to the Sweet 16 of March Madness of the NCAA tournament. So they get to the quarterfinals in the NIT this year. So they've had a couple of years in a row where they've had some postseason success, made a couple of postseason runs, but they ultimately fall to South Carolina here. 11 seed Alabama knocks off 7 seeded Drexel by 9. 5 seeded Texas A&M knocks off 9 seeded Weber State by 10. And then 7 seed Tulane, with another example of a loaded recruiting class, they knocked off 3 seeded Tennessee by 6. So of those four SEC teams remaining in the quarterfinals, three of them got wins. So you're gonna have three SEC teams in the semifinals. Two of them will face off, obviously, those being South Carolina and Alabama, the 8 seed and the 11 seed. South Carolina wins that matchup by 16 points. So they advance to the final of the NIT. And then in the other semifinal matchup, Tulane knocked off 5 seeded Texas A&M by 11. So a very unlikely NIT championship matchup where we see 8-seeded South Carolina face off against 7-seed Tulane, and South Carolina pulls off the NIT championship win. They beat Tulane 72-59. So just a really surprising and impressive run by South Carolina to win the NIT. They, were one of those teams that was kind of on the bubble, but they were left off, and they ultimately, based on the seeding of the NIT, weren't really even that close to making the tournament. But they got hot. They were able to win this tournament. They won, the five consecutive games it takes to win this tournament, and we'll see if they can, parlay that into some success next season. I haven't looked at the roster, to be fair, or to be honest, so I don't know, what kind of talent they return, how many seniors they're losing, anything like that. But a lot of times teams that make big runs in NIT are able to, take that next leap next year. I know Ohio State wasn't able to do it with their win last year. They found themselves in the NIT again, but Wright State, who made it to the championship of the NIT, was able to get over the hump and make March Madness this year. So we'll see what South Carolina can do next year. Tulane was the team that they beat in the championship, and Tulane's obviously super young too, so I'm sure they have a bright future. They have a high hopes for next year, I'm sure. So that's your NIT recap. At this point, let's move on to March Madness. So the NCAA tournament. So let's go through round by round. We'll just do again some notable results, different things I noticed. So let's go with the first round. Obviously, we're going to start with the East region, the region of death, the one I talked about in the bracket reveal episode, where it just seemed like unfortunate for Villanova that they, got the overall one seed and were placed in this region, because it was just absolutely loaded. You have Villanova, Louisville, UConn, Illinois, St. Joe's, Pitt, Kentucky, Arizona State. Kentucky as a 7 seed. And Pitt has 60s. It just doesn't even seem fair. But in the first round, it was entirely chalk. You saw those top 8 seeds all advance. I called for an upset in the first round of Illinois. I thought Radford was not a great matchup for them in the first round. Radford being the 13 seed that had the 51st strongest roster in the country, but Illinois was able to knock them off, and there wasn't any upsets in that region in the first round. The upsets that we did see there weren't that many. It was relatively few and far between. And I will say there were no upsets of any top four seeds throughout the first round. So no one seeds, two seeds, three seeds, or four seeds lost. So the highest seeded team that lost was Mizzou. They lost to 12 seeded UNLV. Another example of that 12-5 upset. UNLV knocked them off by one. They were 5-point underdogs. So mild, I mean, not a huge upset, but an upset nonetheless. And that was the highest seeded team to lose. After that, we saw two 6 seeds lose. Illinois State as an 11 seed and a 3-point underdog knocked off 6 seeded UCLA by one. And then 11 seeded Purdue knocked off 6 seeded Butler as a 2-point underdog by 18. So they rolled the Bulldogs. And Purdue, last year they made it to the championship game. They had a disappointing season relative to that this year, but they do get that first round win against Butler, so they'll earn that second round matchup with Texas Tech that I'll talk about in a second. And then after that, we have Valparaiso as a 10 seed, a 2-point underdog, knocked off 7 seed Old Dominion by 6. So Valparaiso and Illinois State, two Mo Valley teams, make it to the second round. Two of those 3 teams that made the tournament from the Valley advanced to the second round. So again, an exciting, impressive year from the Missouri Valley. We saw 7-seeded Temple was actually a 2-point underdog against 10-seeded Georgia, and they absolutely rolled them. They beat them by 16. So good win for Temple. SEC doesn't like to see that, but the SEC, just a really competitive conference. They had all that NIT success. But they lose a bad one to Temple in this first round by 16 from Georgia. So, and then the other notable one was another SEC team that goes down. Arizona State as an 8 seed was a 4-point underdog to 9 seeded Vanderbilt, and they lost or they beat Vanderbilt by 4. So I mean no huge upsets. The biggest upset in terms of Vegas's opinion of the game going in was UNLV as 5-point underdogs to Mizzou. So no crazy upsets in the first round, lots of chalk. Again, quite the opposite of what we saw in the NIT. And I know I've talked to Eli about, the results that he's seen in March Madness, and he's been a little surprised that it has been as chalk as it has throughout these 3 seasons. He mentioned that what he's seen in a lot of the simulations he run or had run prior to this was a lot of upsets, lots of kind of more crazy results. Not necessarily like huge 16 over one seed upsets like that, but just more upsets like we're used to seeing in the real tournament, and we just haven't seen that many yet. It's not to say it won't happen. I'm sure it will. We're due at this point, but we're 3 seasons in. Lots of chalk this year in the first round again. But then it seems like kind of the second round has been where we've seen more of the upsets, and I think this year is a similar case. So let's move on to the second round. In the second round, we saw 2 1-seeds lose. Overall 1 seed Villanova lost to 8-seeded Arizona State. So we just talked about Arizona State's slight upset over Vanderbilt. They were able to also knock off Villanova. That's Villanova's third loss of the season. Had a really strong season. I know that's a disappointing result for them. They lost by 1 point to Arizona State. And then 9-seeded Loyola Marymount upset 1-seeded Duke by 7. I will never complain to see or be upset to see Duke lose, especially at the likes of a mid-major. Flashbacks of Lehigh beating them, of VCU beating them. I enjoy seeing Duke lose to the little guy, and this is another great example of it. Loyola Marymount knocks off Duke in the second round, so they get to the Sweet 16. Exciting run for them. Mentioned it in the season 3 preview episode that they are the most improved team And I don't want to mess this up, but I believe they're the most improved team from the start of the sim through season three. Impressive job what they've been able to do to turn their program around, and then to also get to the Sweet 16, knocking off a one seed. It's an exciting run for them. Also in the second round, a couple other upsets. We saw 11 seed Purdue knock off Texas Tech. So Purdue, they get to the final last year. They get an 11 seed, a disappointing seed this year, but they get back to the Sweet 16. They knocked off Texas Tech 77 to 73. And then Kentucky as a 7 seed, they get that great matchup with Louisville in the second round. I know Louisville could not have been happy to see Kentucky across the bench from them in the second round. I mean, that's just so early for a matchup for Kentucky, but with Kentucky, but Kentucky knocks them off 72-69. So Kentucky and Arizona State, those are both from that region of death, that East region. So the top two seeds go down early in that region, with, like I said, Kentucky and Arizona State knocking off Louisville and Villanova, respectively. Two other notable results. 5 seed St. Joe's lost to 4 seed Illinois. This is again that East region, the region of death. They lost by one. So St. Joe's is one of those mid-major teams that we highlighted preseason. That was a top 25 team. I think they were 14th coming into the season. They earned a 5 seed, and then they fell short to Illinois. So Illinois gets the Sweet 16. But just wanted to highlight, how St. Joe's season ended, what they were able to accomplish with those preseason expectations. I think they, fell a little short of what they hoped to do, but I don't think you can be too upset or too disappointed with the result that we saw from St. Joe's this year. And then 3-seeded Green Bay was able to knock off 11-seed Illinois State 70 to 52 to advance to the Sweet 16. So, Green Bay was the other mid-major team we really highlighted in the season three preview of, a team that was, they were 24th coming into the season. They have 6 seniors. So this was really their chance to represent the horizon really well and make a run and see how far they can get. And at this point, they found themselves with 2 wins in the NCAA tournament. They advanced to the Sweet 16. So going into the Sweet 16, I'll give you a quick conference breakdown, how many teams are remaining from each conference. The Big Ten, we saw 4 teams advance to the Sweet 16. The Big 12, we saw 3. Pac-12 also had 3. The SEC had 2. The ACC had 1 team. So only North Carolina from the ACC advanced. As loaded as that conference was and is, they only got 1 team in the Sweet 16. Very surprising result there. The American Conference got 1 team into the Sweet 16. The Horizon got 1 team, and the WCC got 1 team as well. Horizons being Green Bay, WCCs being Loyola Marymount. So moving on to the results of the Sweet 16, I'm gonna run through every game, kind of give all the Sweet 16 teams their shine. So the first game in from that East region that we had to keep mentioning was Illinois 4 seed knocked off 8 seeded Arizona State by 22. So Arizona State, they've had that minor first round upset over Vanderbilt. They knocked off Villanova in the second round, and they get absolutely pummeled to end their season, end their Cinderella run to Illinois by 22. Second game from that region was UConn, the lone remaining American team, American Conference team. They're the 3 seed from the East region. They knocked off 7 seed Kentucky in a great battle of of Blue Bloods. They won by 8. 4 seeded Texas knocked off Loyola Marymount to end their Cinderella run. Texas beat them by 14. So Loyola Marymount will be happy with a Sweet 16 run, including a win over Duke. But Texas was able to finish the job and advance to the Sweet or to the Elite Eight over Loyola Marymount. And then 2 seeded Utah knocked over or knocked off 3 seeded Ole Miss by 8. 4 seed Kansas upset first seeded Florida by 10. So at this point, Duke, Florida, and Villanova have all lost. It's 3 of the 1 seeds. That means only North Carolina is left of the 1 seeds, and we are still in the Sweet 16. So we haven't even mentioned their result yet. the next result and the next game, 2-seeded Michigan State knocked off 3-seeded Green Bay by 20. So Green Bay is fun. Mid-major success season ends, but they were 24th coming into the year. They advanced to the Sweet 16. I think they represent the horizon really well. They have to be happy with the run they had. Losing to Michigan State is nothing to hang your head about. So, congrats to Green Bay. Congrats to Michigan State for advancing to the Elite Eight. North Carolina was a one seed, and they won by two to advance to the next round. I didn't write in who they beat, so let me look this up really quick. I want to make sure the team they beat gets their recognition. So they knocked off Indiana. So Indiana was that team that I mentioned that ran through the Big Ten tournament and had all that success. Indiana got two more wins in March Madness. They were able to knock off Delaware State by 9 in the first round, and then UNLV by 13 in the second round. So they knocked off that 13 seed and then a 12 seed. So they get to the Sweet 16, where they lose by two. So a valiant effort to the one seed. So North Carolina advances to the Elite Eight, the only one seed to do so. And then the final Sweet 16 game, very hyped matchup, was the 2-seed Arizona Wildcats against 11-seeded Purdue. It was a rematch of the Season 2 National Championship game, and Arizona knocks off Purdue yet again, this time by 16 to advance to the Elite Eight. So Arizona finds themselves back in the Elite Eight. Again, very successful year defending their championship well. They're going to have a matchup with first-seeded North Carolina in the Elite Eight. Moving on to the Elite Eight, 4-seeded Illinois from the East Region, the Region of Doom, they beat UConn, 3-seeded UConn, 71 to 62. So 4-seeded Illinois wins the Region of Death. I don't that's again that's a team I predicted to lose in the first round to Radford, and they as 3-point underdogs they knock off UConn. But their run to win the Elite Eight, they got some good fortune just from the fact that Arizona State knocked off Villanova, so they didn't have to face Villanova. Louisville had lost to Kentucky, so they didn't have to play either of the top two seeds. So they were able to go through 13 seed Radford, 8 seed Arizona State, and 3 seed UConn on the way to the Final Four. But I'm missing a result in there. Let me see. The other game they had. Oh yeah, so they beat Radford in the first round, St. Joe's in the second round, like I mentioned, by one. So the 13 seed, 5 seed, 8 seed Arizona State in the Sweet 16, and then 3 seed UConn in the Elite Eight. So great run by Illinois. A little unexpected, like I said, because I predicted them to lose in the first round, but they find themselves in the Final Four. Utah, as 5-point favorites, beats 4-seeded Texas by 18 to advance to the Final Four. 2-seeded Michigan State, as a essentially a pick'em, a 1-point favorite, beat 4-seeded Kansas by 6, and first-seeded North Carolina, as 3-point favorites, beats 2-seeded Arizona by 5 in overtime. So the matchup that everyone's kind of looking forward to in the Final Four. Not that the other matchups weren't great, but this is the only one seed left against the defending champions, Arizona Wildcats, and North Carolina got the best of them in overtime. So a great matchup there. So your Final Four matchups are Illinois versus Utah and North Carolina versus Michigan State. Moving on to the Final Four. The Final Four, we see 4-seeded Illinois as 2-point underdogs beating number 2-seeded Utah, 78 to 70. So Utah had that run where they won the Pac-12 tournament. They win four consecutive games to get to the Final Four, and they ultimately fall to Illinois by 8. Illinois advancing to the national championship game from that region of death. Just incredible what they've been able to do. Really exciting for them. And then the other matchup, North Carolina, the one seed. They knock off 2-seed Michigan State as 5-point favorites. They knock them off by 4, 76 to 72. So the matchup in the championship game is Shades of 2005, I believe, North Carolina versus Illinois. Some different faces. You're not going to see, Raymond Felton, Sean May, Rashad McCants on North Carolina's side. You're not going to see Darren Williams, D. Brown, Luther Head, James Augustine on Illinois' bench. But again, a great matchup. And it's going to be a similar result this time where North Carolina wins the championship game. They were 6-point favorites, and they end Illinois' magical run with an 18-point win. So I gotta say, not a surprising result, not only from the perspective of that one game, but just from the season's perspective. North Carolina was the number one ranked team in the preseason. Fig Gilinardi did pick Florida to win the national championship. That was his pick. But he had North Carolina in the Final Four, I believe, as well. And, they had the strongest roster from top to bottom. It's just a really solid team. They played a really tough conference. They won the conference tournament. And then they finished the job and they won the national championship. So they fall short of, that triple crown of winning the regular season championship, the conference tournament championship, and then the national championship. But, two of the they got the two most important of those three, I would say. So exciting for them. Congrats to North Carolina. They join the likes of Michigan and Arizona, the season one and season two champions, as the only three teams to win championships in the heat check sim to date. So that's kind of your season three postseason recap. Again, we covered the conference tournaments, we covered the NIT, we covered March Madness. In the future, I was hoping to, or for this episode, I guess, I was hoping to have a guest and kind of go into even some more of the regular season results, some interesting results there, and then maybe dive into these a little more in depth. But I hope you enjoyed just this quick recap I was able to provide you guys. Looking forward to season four. I know a lot of people are really itching to, kind of get this thing ramped up again. For most teams, about 66% of teams at this point have just been waiting around since the regular season ended, or since the conference tournaments ended, I guess. And so I hope that this can provide you just a little bit of the heat check content you're looking for, and we can kind of move on to, more exciting stuff, the off-season budgets, the season four preview, kind of getting your schedules all wrapped up and everything. I know people have been working on that kind of just to fill the void that this time of year provides. But I'm excited for season four. It's going to be a great one. I don't have any idea about any updates that could be coming. I haven't heard anything of that kind from Eli at this point. I am interested to see kind of how the financial system works. It hasn't really I haven't seen any results. Let me look really quick while I'm here just to make sure there hasn't been any results posted there. Yeah, still no results in terms of kind of like the income, revenue, expenses. He does have the wins and winning percentage sorted on there. It shows, each school's highest rate ranking in their history, but it doesn't have any information yet in terms of revenue or expenses or anything like that, or promotion status. So curious to see what that might look like. But at this point, like I said, I'm excited to move into season four. I know right now we are in the coach retention phase where we're trying to figure out where kind of the coaching carousel will land. I guess we're going to see if any of those mid-major coaches that have higher aspirations can make the move to a bigger school, to a bigger job. I know me personally at Liberty, I'm gonna do basically what I do every year, where I'm gonna ask to go to Creighton and be ultimately shut down and return to Liberty, because I know the guy who runs Creighton, I believe, is, I can't remember if he's a Creighton grad or if he's just a Creighton fan, but either way, he's in a similar boat time where he wants to be at Creighton, so he's going to stay there most likely. But just on the off chance that he leaves someday, I want to make sure I don't miss out on that. But like I said, I'm going to most likely be at Liberty. I have an exciting team coming in next year, returning everyone from this year's team that finished second in the conference, lost in the conference championship game, won 19 games, by far the most successful Liberty season to date in the simulation. So, looking forward to building on that success and hopefully making the NCAA tournament this next year. I called my shot in the NCAA tournament bracket reveal episode that I was going to make it, so hoping to be able to hold true and prove myself correct in that manner. But that's basically all I have for now. Like I always say, I appreciate your guys' support listening. I apologize for the week and a half delay in content this time around. But as always, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to send them in. I'll do my best to incorporate them into future episodes. And I'm looking forward to bringing you that season 4 preview, not too far in the future, hopefully next week or so. See you later.